I'm going to talk a little bit today. I've been teaching children's Sunday school for the past several weeks through October and into November. And so we've been studying the parables of Jesus. And it's always interesting when you put kids in a room and you read the parables because, you know, parables are a story that is told with a specific thing, like the story is told a certain way, but has a different meaning than what is actually being said. And so it's just interesting to hear how kids interpret things. And so if you've met my kids and spent any amount of time with them, you know, Cassandra tends to be a little bit more serious and you know, a little deeper in thought, and Richard tends to fly high up in the clouds and be fun and silly. So it's, you know, trying to shoot that gap is hard. But it's been really good to talk with them and to unpack some of these truths and see how they interpret it through their lens, through the eyes in which they see the world. And looking at things in real life and how they've connected parts of the story and applied it to who we are today. And so we have covered the parable of the talents. We talked about the lost sheep and coin, which is what we'll talk about specifically today. And then also this morning we went through and talked about the prodigal son. And so as they've made connections, we've discussed some things in that group that I thought were kind of applicable to where we are today. And so we've kind of been on this really long, half a year long journey together, in which I've kind of talked and brought in what I do outside of the church and talked about how I can marry those two things together. And so I want to continue that thought process today. And so we've talked about the importance of secure attachment in the work that I do, but also the importance of having a securely attached relationship to God. We talked about the three rules, the power that's in connecting and being empowered by things like prayer and scripture and the living water that only Christ offers. And then we talked the last time that I preached just a few weeks ago, we talked about the ideal way, right? So that immediate, direct, efficient, action-based, leveled at behavior and not at response. And so I want to look at a couple of parables this morning, and I want to look at them a little bit differently. And so what I always appreciate about you know, the way things happen organically in the Spirit of God is like Pastor Dave and Colleen, they were visiting their grandkids and doing all that stuff. And so texted me just, hey, I just want to make sure like you're preaching on Sunday. And I said, yep, here's what I'm preaching about. I literally said the parable of the lost coin and the parable of the sheep. That's all. Didn't say anything else. No sermon title, no context, no nothing. And that's all I said. And he didn't even ask any other questions back. He just accepted what that was. And so it's what I appreciate about his approach to worship is that he truly just takes a piece of something and allows the Spirit to work. And so you could have done worship 1,000 different ways because we're all thinking, as I think through the parable of these parables, of a certain application and meaning that we've been taught our entire lives. But I want to look at them differently and take more of an inward focus versus an external focus. And if you go back and go through all of the songs we sang through worship, there's a very inward personal focus in worship. And that's the approach that I want to take today. And I didn't have that conversation with him. So the only way that happens is by the Holy Spirit at work, which I'm reminded that he's already here. He's not coming because I'm about to preach. He's not coming because we sang and invited him here. He was here before. And that's a part of the work that he was doing before we ever got here this morning. And so I want to think in view of these two parables. And I want to make the connection to something that's very important when we talk to families, when I work with families about, and that's the topic of mindfulness, right? So as I read through these two parables in the Passion Translation, I'll read through them first, and then that's kind of the direction that we're going this morning. So if you have your Bible, whether it's the book, the app, or you have an eidetic memory and have memorized the whole thing, which if you did, I want to talk to you later, because that's just fascinating to me. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 1, we're going to go verses 1 through 10. And again, if you're on the Bible app, I'll be reading from the Passion Translation, but you can follow along in whatever translation is most comfortable for you. So starting Luke 15, verse 1, says, "Many dishonest tax collectors and other notorious sinners often gathered around to listen as Jesus taught the people. This raised concerns among the Jewish religious leaders and the experts of the law. Indignant, they grumbled and complained, saying, 'Look at how this man associates with all these notorious sinners and welcomes them all to come to him.' In response, Jesus gave them this illustration. There once was a shepherd with 100 lambs, but one of his lambs had wandered away and was lost. So the shepherd left the 99 lambs out in the open field and searched in the wilderness for that one lost lamb. He didn't stop until he finally found it. With exuberant joy, he raised it up, placed it on his shoulders, and carried it back with cheerful delight. Upon returning home, he called his friends and neighbors together and said, 'Let's have a party. Come and celebrate with me the return of my lost lamb. It wandered away, but I found it and brought it home.' Jesus continued, 'In the same way, there will be a glorious celebration in heaven over the rescue of one lost sinner who repents, comes back home, and returns to the fold, more so than all of the religious people who never strayed away.' Jesus then gave another parable. There was once a woman who had 10 valuable silver coins. When she lost one of them, she swept her entire house diligently searching every nook and cranny for that one lost coin. When she finally found it, she gathered all of her friends and neighbors for a celebration, telling them, 'Come and celebrate with me. I had lost my precious silver coin, but now I found it.' That's the way God responds every time one sinner lost repents and turns to him. He says to all of his angels, 'Let's have a joyous celebration for the one that was lost, I have found.'" Would you stop and pray with me for just a moment? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity. And God, I know we've already prayed a number of times, but God, we know that you're still here. And we know, in fact, you're still listening to us. And so God, as we take a little bit of a different approach, God, I ask, my prayer is that we would hear you today. Not anything that I feel is a catchy thing to say or any truth because I feel like it's important, but God, we want to hear what you have to say, and what you have is important. So help us to be freed in that this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we work through these two parables, there's really kind of three parts of the story that I want to unpack with us this morning that really help us to take on this concept of what mindfulness is, right? So mindfulness, as just a broad definition, is the state of being aware of something, right? And so if you think through what that might look like, you might be mindful of your surroundings, right? If you're walking outside at night, you might be mindful of lights and sounds and different things, right? We had the kids outside playing in the road and riding their bikes and skateboarding and all those things, right? And so we're teaching them to be mindful of cars, right? And other people, mindful of each other, right? So as Cassandra's riding her bike faster than she, you know, can control, right? Don't run your sister or your brother over, like, on the way accidentally. Right? You might be mindful when you're driving of other cars on the road, right? If you've been in an accident, right, you are probably more mindful of other cars and things on the road. You might be mindful of your kids out in public, on the playground, the grocery store, right? And the list can go on and on and on, right? So mindfulness is an awareness, right? Us being in a state of being aware that something is going on. Right? And so we see that there is some mindfulness in these two stories that Jesus is saying, right? If I look at verse 4, the beginning of verse 4 and verse 8, it says, "There was once a shepherd with 100 lambs, but one of his lambs had wandered away and lost." Verse 8, "There was once a woman who had 10 silver coins, and when she lost one, she went to find it." Right? Both the shepherd and the woman have realized that they have lost something. And that's the simple truth that's real for so many of us today, is that we have lost something. You might have lost health. You might have lost your passion, your purpose. You might have lost loved ones. You might have lost safety, hope, belonging, your will to go on. You might have lost strength. And for some, you might just be realizing that something's off, but you still don't know quite what that one thing is. I think if we were to change something about these parables and we were to take away that acknowledgement that they're missing something, the story wouldn't land quite the same, right? Can you imagine Jesus being there gathered in front of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, and saying, there was a man who had 100 lambs and he lost one, but he had no idea, so he took the 99 home, right? Or there was a woman who had 10 coins and lost one, didn't realize it, and she went about her day thinking nothing else about it, right? The point, the purpose, the message behind that story would be completely different if we weren't aware that something was missing. You see, the world becomes so busy, it prevents us sometimes from seeing the fact that we ourselves are missing something. I spend a lot of times talking with families about things that might prevent them from being present or in the moment with their kids, especially when they're having a hard time. Sometimes there are things in this life, if we think about the things that might be preventing us from seeing that we're missing something, there might be distractions. I talked last time as I preached that the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis talks about the junior demon that's in charge of a particular man on earth, was just satisfied with him being distracted by TV, by work, by all these other things, right? Our desire sometimes becomes a distraction. Our own doubt can be a distraction from recognizing and seeing that something's wrong. Busyness, restlessness. 1 Peter 5:8 says we are to be alert and aware of what's going on. He would say in the preceding verses that to be alert and aware means that we have to first humble ourselves before God. How do we humble ourselves before God? It's on our knees in prayer. You see, it's only through connection to Christ that we can realize that something is missing. It comes first from the place of being able to say that I am not okay. Something is not okay with me, which ties back into what Pastor mentioned last week in his sermon. He says, don't wait to give the testimony until you've come through the thing, but start giving the testimony when it's messy and you can do nothing else but acknowledge that God is with me. I don't know the answer. I don't know how long I'm going to go through this. I don't know what tomorrow looks like for me, but I know that God is with me and that I am not okay, and it's okay to not be okay because I have God with me. You see, and it's that prayer, that simple prayer that helps us to refocus our hearts on God and nothing else. As I was preparing, I was reminded of the song In Christ Alone, and it starts this way. It says, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ, I stand. This song paints this picture that nothing else, no amount of desire, no amount of money, no amount of riches in this world can help you through. It's Christ alone that puts your feet on solid ground, that helps you through the drought and the storm. It's only Christ's love that has the capacity to overcome all things. Christ alone can help us to discover the thing that we are missing. And if you're still searching and you say, I'm not quite sure, something's off with me, I don't know quite what it is, start with prayer. Start with putting those questions in Christ alone. I love the part at the end of that first opening part of the song. It says, when my fears are still and striving cease, in order to find what it's missing, in order to be fully connected to Christ, it means you have to let go. You have to stop fighting for control and allow God to take over and to have control. And when you do that, you can sit in Christ alone. That is when your fears are stilled, is when your striving ceases. Let go first and God can quiet your fears. And so the first part of being mindful is being aware, attuned, understanding that I'm missing something. Something's not right. Something's going on. But if you notice, the stories that Jesus is telling in these two parables doesn't stop with just the awareness that something's wrong. Once we notice and figure out that we are missing something, that's when the work starts. If we look back at both of our parables in verses 4 and 5 and then the latter part of verse 8, it says, "So the shepherd left the 99 lambs, went out into the open field and searched in the wilderness for that one lost lamb. And he didn't stop until he found it." In verse 8, "For the woman, when she lost one of her coins, she swept her entire house, diligently searching every nook and cranny for that one lost coin." I can remember when we were talking last Sunday about this in Sunday school, I remember Richard goes, "Well, I'd find a coin. If I dropped a coin in my room, I would find it really fast." And I just went, "Pah, your room is disgusting, dude." You know, he's like, "But it would stand out. I would see the color of the coin. It's different than the color of anything else in my room. I would find it so quickly." And so I brought to his attention, I said, "Dude, people didn't have like laminate floors back in this day. Like they lived in dirt, like this dirt on the floor. And when you walked around, what happens to dirt? It cakes up and it gets dusty, right? And so as you're walking and you drop the coin, you're not gonna go, 'Oh, suddenly I dropped my coin.' Like you're not gonna feel that it fell, right? You're gonna go and count your money later and realize it's gone. Who knows how much time has elapsed from the time they dropped it to the time it was found? It could be days, weeks, months, we don't know. And so it was most likely under dirt. And so you're down on your hands and knees getting filthy, moving every patch of dirt on your floor. And he goes, "Oh yeah, I don't know that I would do that," right? And when it came to the sheep, they looked at me like, well, that's only one. Like who's watching the other 99 sheep to go find this one? And I'm, nobody. There's one shepherd that's responsible for this. As I was studying, I tried to paint them this picture. They're like, "Well, it's okay. Like the sheep would be like in the pen, you know, in the gate." Like, no, there were no gates. There were no fences. They were on like this little sliver of land between two cliffs. Like you just had to hope the 99 were still there. And it was like the video that pastor showed is, you know, do you guys remember a few weeks ago, he showed them pulling the lamb out of the little trench that fell. And what does that one do? Peep, right back into it. Right? And so then they're like, "Oh, okay." Like it's starting to make a little bit more sense to them why this is significant and important. But what I love about these, the way the Passion Translation talks about the searching, the work, is that they were diligent and they never stopped until they found that one particular thing. Right? They searched not just for a moment, but with relentless pursuit until they found what was missing, right? And like many of us, we might be thinking, "Well, I have 99 sheep. I have 9 other coins," right? The value of what was lost pales into comparison to the value of what we already have. But Paul paints his picture in 1 Corinthians 12. He talks about the body of Christ, many parts making up one whole, right? We can't all be eyes. We can't all be elbows. We can't all be feet. That would be weird, right? That wouldn't work. The body needs all parts to function as a whole. In the same way, God wants us. He doesn't want just some of us. God wants all of us. Matthew 22:37, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." Everything about who we are is to love God. Pastor mentioned in a few weeks ago, talking through one of his sermons, that as we have faith, right, we already know that there's a prize like beyond anything else waiting for us in eternal life. But that as we go and journey towards that, there is a cost, there is a sacrifice that has to be made. There is work. We toil, right? Once we figure out what is lost, it's only God that can restore us back. And so in like 2021, I think, or somewhere about in that time, some of you were here at that time and some of you weren't. And so I think it's, you know, good to go back and talk. But in 2021, I felt like something wasn't right for me. There was something missing from my life, and I wasn't quite sure what it is. And so through conversations with Amber, through prayer, realized that what I was doing at the time in working a lot and I was, you know, making really good money, but it wasn't really doing anything for me. It was costing me things. It was costing me my health. It was costing me time at home with my family. It was costing me time to be open to what God might have me do here in the ministry setting as well. And so I took a leap of faith. I wrote a ministry proposal, and I presented it to the church, unbeknownst to anybody that was here at the church at the time, but I presented a ministry proposal that Amber and I had talked and worked and prayed through that talked about me changing jobs, me leaving the job that I was at, going to work for Family Initiative, and increasing my availability and capacity to do things here at the church, to start a kids ministry, to revive our young adults ministry, and to look at starting a care group for our younger married couples here at the church. And so the thing about that is I was losing. I had lost something that I was trying to figure out. But in the process of making all those changes, I had to lose something else. I had to lose about 50% of my income to be able to make that change. And up until that point, a constant conversation that Amber and I had had multiple times is like, if the car breaks down, I don't know how we're going to fix it, right? I need to make more money. I need to, you know, I want you to do all these things. Like, I want to just make so much money that we can save, that like we don't ever have to worry or want for anything. If we want it, we can buy it. And I can tell you, we were there. It didn't matter to us. Like, we had Amazon packages coming to our house, and this is probably it's not a brag. But like, we didn't often sometimes remember what was in them, right? And that happens sometimes, but that's okay. But if we wanted it, we got it. If our kids wanted it, we did it. If we wanted to go out to eat, we went out to eat. And while that sounds like it's great, outside of those things, I was not really home and present with my family. And so in order to gain the thing that I was missing, I had to lose all of the things that I thought were the thing that would help me in that particular time and place in my life. And can I tell you right now is that we have more money saved than we did then. We are less stressed about money making less than we were then. God has done things that we couldn't have imagined to help us to come through those things because we simply said, we're going to let go and let God take control of those things. And it's hard. My schedule's different. I'm out of the home later in the evenings. And so we still have to constantly work to find ways to do things. But we've connected our kids more to biblical truths by having kids ministry. We have gathered other parts of our extended family who aren't necessarily connected to this church and this body as a whole in our young adults ministry. We've empowered people like Naaman and Gabby who want to lead and have a call to do things in the church to minister to the group of people that they feel passionate about and to just let them go and do those things. And so, yes, I lost something, but I've gained so much more in the process. Because first I was able to recognize and say, something's not okay. I've lost something. And the only way for me to become restored and become whole again is to let go, stop fighting for control, and allow God to have control. It's no longer I work to gain things for me here, it's I work to gain glory for God, whatever that might look like. 1 Timothy 4:6-10 in the Message says, you have been raised on the message of faith and you have followed sound teachings. Now pass on this counsel to the followers of Jesus there and you'll be a good servant to Jesus. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasiums are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you both fit for today and forever. And I think sometimes as we get stuck thinking that the one thing we're searching for is the thing that we're missing. We get stuck thinking if just this one thing would happen in my life, if this one thing would happen out in the world, then things would be okay. But if that one thing you're searching for, if that one thing you're fighting for is not rooted in Christ, then that's still not your thing. We first have to recognize that something's missing, and then we have to put in the work so that we can do what? We can rejoice. Verses 6 and 9 say that returning home, he called the shepherd, all of his friends and neighbors together and said, let's have a party. Come and celebrate with me the return of my lost lamb. You see, it wandered away, but I have found it and brought it home. Verse 9, the woman, when she finally found it, referring to the coin, she gathered all of her friends and neighbors for a celebration, telling them, come and celebrate with me. I had lost my precious coin, but now I have found it. Notice in the story when the rejoicing comes after we have been made whole again, right? When the flock was made whole, then we rejoice. When the coins were all found, then we rejoiced. When each person is made whole after working toward their goal, their objective, the thing that they've lost, as long as that thing is Christ-centered in their pursuit, that is when we are made whole. That wasn't always the case for me. I wasn't always pursuing Christ-centered things. I was out for money. I was out for the next promotion, the next big thing. But those things never seemed to fill the gap that was missing for me. There was never contentedness. There was never joy in having any of those things. It was just worry about how to get to the next milestone, the next achievement. Sometimes we think if I can make a certain amount of money, I would be content. If I'd be a better speaker or have better spiritual gifts, God could use me. If I had not done these things in my past, maybe God could use me. And I'm here to tell you is be mindful not to hitch your wagons to things that are here, earthly pursuits. Because in the process of hitching your wagon to something that's an earthly pursuit, you give up the identity of a child of God. And you fall outside of God's intended plan. And in the process, so many times we think, well, I'm defending God's honor. I'm fighting for things because God needs me to fight for this thing. And Pastor said, I believe it was last week or the week before, God doesn't need you to do that. God doesn't need you to defend him. God doesn't need you to fight his battles for him, right? Those are things that the enemy uses to distract us. He needs you to let go of that silly pursuit and find your wholeness. Sometimes we spend more time advocating for things that are earthly pursuits and less time advocating for God. Advocating and connecting people to the power that is in God. We spend more time liking, sharing posts and doing so many other things for you know, meaningless pursuits. And how many opportunities have we missed? If you were to go on your phone, every phone, whether it's an Android, the superior product, or an Apple phone, it's okay, I said it. It's captured on YouTube. You can go back and listen to it again. Just kidding. If you were to go on any phone, it has a screen time function. It will tell you where you spend your time on your phone. If I were to look at mine, I'd be embarrassed to tell you that the lion's share of my time is spent on either texting or email or social media or watching just dumb videos on TikTok. Right? There are times and weeks, and I'll be honest, that my Bible app probably wouldn't even register on my screen time usage. And that's the problem. We've lost our focus. And until we regain our focus, we won't clearly be able to see what it is that is missing from our lives. And until we can clearly see the thing that's missing from our lives, we aren't going to be able to find the strength in God to do the hard work. Right? There is no perfect time to do something. David praised and wrote psalms of praise to God, running for his life. Paul wrote much of the New Testament of what we believe and love and cherish so much about the Bible from jail. And in the midst of dying on the cross, Jesus still witnessed to the thief next to him. Regardless of what the thing is missing from you, you can only pursue those things through the power of God. And notice the order of things in each parable. They were made whole first. Even if you continue down to the very last parable that's told in that series of three parables, you see the parable of the lost son, right? Everybody remembers that story. The son goes, squanders his living. I paraphrased some things out of that for my kids because I didn't think that they could understand some of the things that the son spent his money on. And so then in a crossword puzzle, I had to explain why somebody would spend their money on women. So that was interesting this morning with an eight-year-old. But he goes out and he squanders all that money and he says, I'm unworthy, something's missing, I'm not right. And he comes home, not to come home as a son, he comes home to come home as a servant. And what does the father do? Fully restores him first. The son said, something's missing, this is not right, I'm gonna go home to my father and beg for scraps when my father could offer me everything. And notice the order of things in each one of these parables. You're made whole first, and then you rejoice. You're only made whole through being connected back to the power of God. And so wherever you find yourself today, in the midst of a struggle, lost, not knowing what's next for you, or stuck in a cycle of chasing earthly gains and pursuits, in Christ alone, you can find your wholeness, your purpose, your passion, direction, healing, and hope. And I'll leave you with this morning. It's Psalms 104:34. It says, may my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. And so if I were to leave you with one thing to do today, one thing to incorporate into your daily life, it's be mindful and pray. Spend time connected to God and ask him for that simple truth. Would whatever that looks like for you, would that meditation be pleasing to God so that you can rejoice in the Lord this morning? I'll pray before the band comes up. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to be here. And God, I ask that you would help us. God, there might be some here in the midst of our congregation in person or online, God, that are saying that something's missing and I just don't quite know what it is. And so God, whether they would come to the altars and pray, whether someone would come and pray with them, whether they would just simply seek you in the seat where they are, God, we ask that you would meet them and help them to figure that out. And God, our purpose of today, our goal for today was to offer something fragrant in thanks for how you are present with us this morning. So God, hear our prayer. Be with us in the time we have remaining. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.